And if you have your Bible this morning, I would like to invite you to join me in John chapter 8. It's the fourth book of the New Testament, John chapter 8. And let me get there with you. John chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 31 in just a moment with the words of Jesus. Again, if you've been with us through this service, whether in person or online, this is how we opened up the scripture in Luke chapter 4. Just today, focusing on this message and the words of Jesus, the truth that he taught us in John chapter 8, and beginning in verse 31, the Bible says this, John 8, 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. Sometimes in the Bible, there is a belief that's more mental than heart and genuine faith. But this is what Jesus said. If you abide in me, abide means to remain, it's to live by. So when he says, if you abide in my word, he is just basically saying, if you live by the truths of my word, you are my disciples indeed. And see, that's kind of like what we might say, the walk bears out the talk. I mean, any of us can say we're Christians, but Jesus said, if you live by the truths of my words, you'll show it. You'll demonstrate that you're one of my followers. You're one of my disciples. And isn't that what Jesus commissioned us to do before he returned to heaven? After he died on the cross, rose from the grave, and was here 40 days before he ascended, he said, I want you to go make more followers. Go make more disciples. And that was one of the reasons I actually wrote this devotional, because first of all, what is a disciple? And then how can we make disciples? And I hope that'll be a blessing to not only encourage us in our walk with the Lord, bring people. And I'll say this, I've heard of at least two or three people who have come to know the Lord through it. And I'm just so thankful for that. To me, that's just worth it all. And any profit from it, we bless our missionaries with. But the Lord calls church leadership to equip the people of God to do the work of the ministry. So I hope it'll be just a little tool that might be a blessing to you to help and equip you in your ministry. So Jesus went on, he said this in verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Would you please read that out loud with me? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Father, I pray that your truth would become very personal, real to us today. That, Lord, we wouldn't just know about you, but we would know you. And we'd walk with you and be close to you. So may you open up every heart, every mind to receive what you want to speak to us today. And then help us not only to have ears to hear, but a heart to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. And you shall come to know the truth. That word is really what it means. You shall know the truth. If you abide in my word, if you live by my teachings and my word, you're gonna know the truth. And that word know means come to know by personal experience. It's like how we might say, I've come to know Kim over the years. We first met in youth group at a church where her family started to attend. And I knew who she was. If you were to ask me after a little while, do you know Kim Lays? I would have said, well, I know who she is. I know her now. And she knows me. Relationship, there's closeness. And Jesus said we can know his word that way because, let me actually go back to chapter 5. I want to give you a little contrast here. And just to show that it's not just enough to know about it. In John chapter 5, Jesus is speaking to some of the most religious people that have ever walked the face of this earth, some of the Pharisees in his time. And the Bible says this, again, this is Jesus speaking in verse 38. John chapter 5, verse 38 says, Jesus told them, but you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent him, you do not believe. So do you see it's not enough? In fact, let me read that next verse. Verse 39, you search the scripture. They knew the scripture probably backwards and forward. What the Bible they had was the Old Testament, but especially those first five books called the law, they knew it here intellectually in their mind. But Jesus said, you're not living in it because you don't know me. So he says, you search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. See, God, the Lord gave us his word, not just so that we could learn it, but so that we could meet the author and live it. So now would you go back to chapter 8? And I'll pick up there where Jesus left off. Let me read this real quick. I wrote this on page 47, I think it is. That's an appropriate, it really fits, I believe, for the context here. We need more than information in our minds. We need a revelation of truth in our hearts. It is the truth we know and believe that makes us free. It's the truth that we know and believe that makes us free, not just information in our mind, but revelation in our hearts. So then Jesus says this in verse 33. Just again, John 8, 33, they answered him, rather, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? I don't know what they were thinking, but if you're familiar with the Jewish history at all, they had been in bondage at this time. They were under the Roman rule. And so I'm not sure exactly what they had in mind, but I believe one important revelation, if we want to be free, is we got to be willing to admit where we are. To admit, yeah, I need freedom in this area or that area. So then he said, they said to him, you know, we're not in bondage to anyone. Jesus said this in verse 34. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And that word commits is also translated practices. It doesn't mean, you know, we've never commit a sin as long as we live after we come to know the Lord. It simply means it's not characteristic of a lifestyle for those who know the Lord. We still struggle, we still tempted, we still fall occasionally, but our desire is to be that disciple, to live by the word. And Jesus said though, but if you live a life of sin, you're a slave to it. And then he says this in verse 34, most assuredly I say to you, I'm sorry, verse 35, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So as we live in, I guess, live by the truths of God's word and in fellowship with God's Son, we come to know the truth, not only the inspired word, we come to know the in-person word, and the Son makes us free. And if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So today's message is simply this: Jesus paid for my freedom. Jesus paid for my freedom. How? He paid for my freedom by living a sinless life, willingly going to the cross, suffering the judgment and wrath of God for not only my sin, for our sins. And 3 days later, he arose from the grave, conquering death. He had already defeated sin and Satan at the cross, and he arose in resurrection power. And 50 days later, he sent God's Holy Spirit after he had returned to heaven. And he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you're gonna be my witnesses. So resurrection power is available to us. So what does knowing the truth free us from? First, knowing the truth frees us from the penalty of our sin, which is separation from God, not only in this life, but in the life to come. But knowing the truth also frees us from the power of sin in our daily lives to live a lifestyle of sin. We don't have to be slaves to sin. We can know the truth that sets us free. And we can live it out. And then ultimately, one day, if we do know him, we're gonna be saved from the very presence of sin. Thank God. We won't have to deal with it any longer. But all of that is true because Jesus paid for my freedom. I like to make it personal. Would you tell someone next to you, Jesus paid for my freedom? Thank God he did. Now would you go to chapter 11, please, John chapter 11. And Jesus raised a man from the dead after he had been in the tomb for 4 days. He was one of his friends. He wasn't the only person Jesus raised from the dead, but he was one of them. And I believe there's such a lesson here for us because Jesus raised this man from the dead, but I want you to see how he raised him. John chapter 11, verse 43. It says, now when he, Jesus, has said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, called him by name, come forth. What would have happened if he didn't say Lazarus? So Lazarus, he called me by name, come forth. Verse 44, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, those near him, loose him and let him go. I believe there's an illustration for us here. Just to kind of state the obvious, could Jesus have raised him from the dead and come out of that tomb with the finest robe money could have bought in the day? So just naturally, he left him in his, but I think there's more than just he left him in the clothes he was buried in, or in that, you might say, mummy-looking burial outfit. But just like Lazarus, Jesus can call us, and we can go from spiritual death, chapter 5 teaches us well, to spiritual life, and we're alive, and we know the Lord, and we have eternal life, but we can be forgiven and still be bound by grave clothes that are trappings of death. So we can be forgiven, brought to new life, know the Lord, but still be bound by addictions, still be bound by compulsive behavior, still be bound by fears and insecurities. That's something I've struggled with over the years. We can be brought to life and know the Lord and still be bound by a need to control. I've got to be in control here or I just erupt or fall apart or whatever the case may be. We may be bound by unhealed hurts. We watched a movie here last night called I Can Only Imagine. And this brother who leads the group Mercy Me had a very rough upbringing. And his dad was abusive to not only his mom, but to him, beat him one time so bad on his back, he couldn't sleep on it. He had to lay on his stomach. And eventually grew to, you know, good size, played football, but was injured and was no longer able to play. His dad had played some ball, and that was kind of like one thing that he was hoping he could do. And through it all, the Lord brought it out to where he was able to come back and be reconciled to his dad. But just think about that a moment, because that's a lot of people go through all kind of hurts. And some of them, I've learned this years ago, many hurts that we live in as adults are hurts that came from our childhood that were never healed. So unhealed hurts, and there was a young lady who liked him, but he wouldn't let people get but so close. And she said, you're wearing a mask. And even when they were singing in the group and they were right at the door of success, there was something that hindered them from moving forward. Thank God he was willing to eventually take the mask off and address those unhealed hurts. And God healed him and set him free. And that's the testimony that really goes behind that. But how many lives aren't? How many lives just are still bound with that? Just unhealed hurts. We can know the Lord, but be bound by an unhealthy view, first of all, of God, an unhealthy view of ourselves or others. And Jesus paid for our freedom so we don't have to live that way. He does care. And he not only cares, he does something about it. We just have to cooperate with him and trust him and believe him, because the devil will use every one of those areas, or he will try to condemn us and control us, but we don't have to be condemned and controlled. Jesus paid for my freedom. Jesus paid for my freedom. Let me give you a couple verses here if you just want to write them down. This is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16. And I want to read it from the Passion Translation because God is a loving father and he wants sons and daughters who will love him back and who will worship him and serve him out of love and with joy. 1 Peter 2:16, as God's loving servants, you should live in complete freedom, but never use your freedom as a cover up for evil. So God not only wants us free to love and serve him, he also wants us free to love and serve one another. So Galatians 5:13 says this, Galatians 5:13 in the New Living Translation. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Remember what, some of you remember the account of the God leading the people out of Egypt at the time of the Passover and Exodus, Moses, and so forth. Over and over, God said, let my people, but he didn't stop there. He said, let my people go that they may worship me. Let my people go that they may serve me. Same Hebrew words translated worship and serve. So there's a purpose in the freedom. Billy Graham said this, Christ did not leave glory and suffer an agonizing death so that he could live, we could live in anything less than absolute freedom. Think about it. I'm gonna read that again. Christ did not leave glory and suffer an agonizing death so that we could live in anything less than absolute freedom. Jesus paid for my freedom with his life's blood. He paid for yours. He paid for all of ours with his life's blood. But living in full freedom, I've learned over the years, in any area is kind of like healing. Sometimes it's a process. Now, thank God for instant healing. Thank God for instant deliverance. But sometimes we got to work that thing out. And we cooperate in this, a process. So I want to share just three, I guess, blessed, how we can live in this process and how we can walk in freedom of anything that hinders our walk with the Lord and our witness for the Lord. So I'll give you these three, but before I do, let me invite you to turn over to the book of Romans. Would you turn to Romans chapter number 8? And if you hold your spot there just a moment, Romans chapter 8. Are you familiar with a shofar? I got a longer one here. It's a ram's horn trumpet, and it looks like it has a smaller opening where you put your mouth, or if you think of a funnel, one of the Psalms says, he brought me out and put me in a broad place. I look at the Christian life like that. There's the narrow opening of that shofar or of the funnel. It's one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. In John chapter 10, he said, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, you'll be saved. But that's so restrictive. There's only one way. There all ways lead to God. No, wait a minute. He didn't owe us a way, but he provided one in his love and goodness. But if we go in that way, some people think the Christian life is just, you can't do this, you can't have any fun, you can't go there, you can't do this. And I thought that at one time because of some of my background and experience. But I've come to learn this over the years. Yes, we enter in by that one door, but as we walk through, it gets bigger and bigger. I love it. It's greater, I mean, freedom. We can have more grace, more just walk with the Lord, more of a joy and love and more peace, more freedom. And thank God Jesus paid for. He doesn't want us living any less than what he died to pay for us to set us free. So how can we promote the process? Three ways, I believe. First of all, God's word. If you want to write that down, I'll just read the scripture that we already looked at in John chapter 8, verse 31. Or just tell it. Let me just tell you. We've already read it. Jesus said, if we abide in his word or if we live by the truths of his word, we will come to know the truth, and that truth that you know, you believe and know, not just know, but you know and believe will set you free. So God's word is a freeing agent. Next month, there is the Juneteenth celebration, and Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation before many of the slaves heard the word. Juneteenth basically remembers those in Texas. It was a couple years later that they actually received by the time word got to them. And we need the truth of, this is our Emancipation Proclamation. This is our Declaration of Freedom, because the devil wants to keep us unaware of what Jesus did for us and these truths that set us free so that he can keep us bound and control us. Maybe he can't keep me out of heaven if I know the Lord, but he can sure mess up my life if I allow him. So, to know the word, and let me just read this scripture too if you want to write it down. James chapter 1, verse 25 says this, but he who looks into the perfect law of, not of slavement, a bondage, it's the perfect law of liberty. The New Living Translation says the perfect law that sets you free. So God's word declares our freedom and continues in it. That's to abide, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will not only be free, this one will be blessed in what he does. So we must learn and live by the truths of who God says we are. That was one of the reasons that we sang that song this morning. I am who you say I am. Now, others can say all kind of stuff about me. What does God say? Because we cast the deciding vote. Am I going to build my life on the words of one who knows me best and still loves me most, or what someone else says about me? So God's word, we learn it so that ultimately we can live it out. And we not only to know who we are in Christ, but all the blessings that he has provided by his grace. He's a good God. He's a good father. He has many blessings for us. Let's learn them and let's live them out. So we need God's word. How can we promote the process? God's word. Number two, God's spirit. Did I ask you to turn to Romans 8? All right, Romans chapter 8, because the reality is, I can know the truth, you can know the truth, but in human strength, we don't have it in us to live it out. We need the power, resurrection power, of God's Holy Spirit to live out the truths of what the word tells us. So we need both. We need God's word, but we also need God's spirit to live out the truths of his word. Thank God for the power of his Holy Spirit available to us. The Bible says this, Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? Has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what I'm talking about, is the law of sin and death is still here, but there's a greater law that'll override it. We live in a world where there is a law of gravity, but that doesn't mean that everyone is stuck to the ground. There is a law of lift that'll overcome the law of gravity. And in the spirit realm, there is a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that overcomes and breaks the chains of the law of sin and death. Oh man, that was... Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law was good. The commandments are good. We just couldn't live up to it. What we couldn't do, though, God did. Would you say that with me? God did, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, why? That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. Notice it doesn't say by us. Jesus fulfilled it. The righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I think I've learned over the years too that God calls us more to a surrender than a struggle. What I mean, now the Bible, the Christian life is a struggle. There is that struggle of flesh and spirit and demons and all of that. But I really believe this. I believe we walk in that victory, not so much that we struggle in ourselves, but that we surrender ourselves to God. Because what we can't do, he can. Then when I say, God, I keep telling you, I'm going to, I saw something on the other day on the Facebook. It says, day one of not trying to make my wife mad. It was worded a little different, but. And then it said, another one, day one of trying to not make my wife mad. Next one, day one of trying not to make my, got up to day two. Then the next day, day one of trying not to make my wife mad. Brother, you might as well, not that they're all hard to please, it's our weakness. I can tell you, God would only know how many times I would say, I'm never gonna do that again. And I finally, I think, failed enough to say, Lord, no more promise. I'm not going to tell you, be like Peter. They all might deny you. I never will. I don't know him. Lord, I can't. So here I am. I'm yours. I just believe you to do it. Help me. Power. Resurrection power. In our weakness, his power is revealed. In our humility, grace comes to set us free. Thank God. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Same word, freedom and liberty are same, come from the same word in the Greek language. So the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is everywhere. The context is wherever he is Lord, there's freedom. Liberty. Thank God. Jesus paid for my freedom. How can we promote the process? Number one, would you say this with me? God's word, God's Spirit, and God's people. And then if you turn to Romans chapter 14, and while you're turning, I'll just remind you some of the truths we've looked at earlier in the devotion we've covered over the last few weeks. When we're born again, God adopts us into his family. So when we know him, we are members of God's family, and we are members of Christ's body. We're part of God never calls us to be just like Lone Ranger Christians. Even in the Old Testament, it was a covenant people. Started with a man, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, a God of generations and families because he wants to bless every family in the earth. Then he broadened it to a nation and said, I'm going to use you as a light to the nations. They failed, and so he came up with a new nation, a holy nation, a peculiar people who know him. And he says, now you're the holy nation. I still have a plan for the nation of Israel, but now all believers, Jew or Gentile, are part of my family and part of my son's body, and now you're the light to the nations. So this is what the scripture says, Romans 14, 7. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. The context there is not only that we affect others, but that we are the Lord's. Whether we live or die, we belong to him, and he has a call and purpose on our lives, and not just for me, but for others through me. I was reading, well, in fact, if you have the YouVersion, I think it was in today's scripture for the day. It said, aren't you glad someone told you about Jesus? That you learned the good news? So let's not only be carriers of the good news, let's be sharers to make disciples of others. Then if you drop down to verse, still in Romans 14, verse 19. So therefore, let us, together, pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify or build up one another. So again, remember when we read that scripture, Lazarus came back to life, but he's bound? Jesus didn't say, grave clothes fall off. He said, those of you who are close to him, loose him and let him go. And I've learned this, if we will be humble, and honest first with God, then with ourselves. Lord, I am bound in this area. I'm not gonna try to make any excuses. And then with a humble enough to admit with a brother or sister, hey, would you pray with me about this? I really desire to be free, and I need prayer. I need somebody. I need the power of agreement. God brings freedom. Just like he freed Lazarus with those closest to him, God will free us in ever increasing. We're going through the funnel. We're going through backwards. We're going in that shofar, and it's getting wider and wider, and we're growing in freedom as area after area falls under the truth of who he is and what he does, and we're free, and free indeed. Because Jesus paid for my freedom out of his great love and mercy for us. John Ortberg is the author. He said, none of us can develop to our highest potential unless we're plugged into nurturing, life-giving relationships. Can we just be honest enough to say we need each other? And sometimes just to go, you know, your friends and me as a man to not only Kim, but maybe to another brother and say, would you pray for me in this area? It just takes a little humility. But that might be the key that turns the lock to set us free and more chains fall off, more grave clothes wind off. So let me close with this. God's word, God's spirit, God's people, holy fellowship. I want to ask you to think of one area. Don't try to come up with a laundry list. Is there one area right now in your life where you would say, I really desire to be free in this area of my life? It's been a struggle. I said I would come back to this one. One area that I've struggled with over the years for whatever reason was insecurity and fears. And it's one thing to feel fear and anxiety and not allow it to bind us to where I'm not obedient to the Lord. It's another thing when I experience that to such a degree that I'm not doing what God wants me to do, not being who God wants me to be. So as a result, one of the scriptures I meditated on for, honestly, years, and I'm not saying I've arrived, but I've grown. I've experienced some freedom by the grace of God. And I would confess this. God has not given me a spirit of fearfulness or timidity, but he has given me a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And I keep confessing it and speaking it until it started really taking root. So I could have that fear, and it was a fear of ridicule for me. I didn't want anyone to make fun of me because I felt so bad about myself. It was like that low self-esteem and insecurity. So if there was something I thought I couldn't immediately be successful in, I wouldn't even want to try it because I was scared to be a failure. Some of you heard me say this before. I was sitting across the street. Let me get my bearings right. Yeah, across City Point Road, where it was Maloney School at the time. And you remember over in there was a gym in there, had the little pins and stuff where you lift weights, old school. And there was a stool that was before like the military press machine. And one day I was in there, I couldn't tell you what it was set on. And I just went to push on it and I started to get resistance and I stopped. And I would have walked away and said, I can't lift that. And someone I went to school with saw me, and he came over and said, you can lift that. I was like, I can. And because I believed his word to me, I not only lifted it, I repped it. Because I believed what he said rather than what my mind said because something wasn't easy right off the bat. That's what I'm trying to say, whatever area it is, Lord, help me to be a better husband. Help me to be a better father. Help me to be a better pastor. But if there's hindrance in any area, I know that God can free us. We cooperate with him and promote that freeing process. I believe it keeps us close to him too. And then it keeps us where we can relate to others. And when they feel like they're struggling, they're dealing with unhealed hurts or insecurities or whatever it may be, we can be a blessing and try to encourage them too. That's what I mean by God's family. So not just God's word and God's spirit, but each other, God's family. I'm just trying to be real and be honest. Jesus paid for my freedom, and I thank God for the freedom that I walk in, but I haven't arrived yet. I still want to grow in that freedom, and I thank God that I can, and I thank God that we all can, and those of you joining online as well. So just would you think about one area, just one area that you feel like, Lord, I want freedom right here, and I want to make sure there's no condemnation, because when Jesus had a woman brought to him caught in the very act of adultery, he, through a process, turned all of her accusers away, and he looked at her and said, where are your accusers? She said, I don't have any now. And he said, neither do I condemn you, but now go and you're free to leave that life of sin. You're not chained to that life any longer because I'm not condemning you, and truth and forgiveness and grace sets you free. Now go live different. Now live it out. So just think of one area, but then I want to ask you this. Try to think about a scripture that you can use that's like a declaration of freedom for you. And it's a freeing truth. And just begin to then get it in your heart. Renew your mind with it. That's so important. Get that old mess out. It's a process. You got to be faithful day in and day out. Renew it. Getting the old lies, old hurts, old habits, all of that out and put the new in. Renew our minds. Confess it. Declare it. Dwell on it. Get somebody to agree with you in prayer, and let's live free to the glory of God. Jesus paid for my freedom. I thank God, again, if we live by the truth of God's word and in fellowship with God's Son, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And if the Son makes us free, we shall be free indeed. Amen. Let's stand together. Lord, thank you for the price you paid and the truth that you lived and that you gave. I pray that you would help us to allow, not only allow, to want your loving spotlight to come into our heart, into our lives, our memories, our hurts, our whatever it may be. And I ask, Lord, that you would just shine the light of truth on it, not to expose, not to condemn, but to heal and to free. So, Father, I pray for your spirit even right now to just move. I'm asking, Lord, that what you did for us, you paid the price. Now help us, Lord, to live it out for your honor and your glory. But with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, if anyone would say, Brother Rocky, I do have an area in mind. I'm not gonna ask you, that's between you and the Lord, but I would like to pray for you. If you really have an area that you say, I really need the Lord's freedom and healing touch right here in my life, would you just slip up your hand right there where you are? Thank you so much. Thank you. You can go ahead and put your hands down. Thank God. Lord, we lift up not only our hands, we lift up our hearts and lives to you. Lord, would you send your word and heal? Bring healing, bring freedom, bring grace. I pray that you would lead us in that scripture. Lead us, Lord, in renewing our minds. Help us reveal to us truth, not just information in our mind, revelation of truth in our hearts, that we could live this out and do it for your glory and honor. And then use us as your voice and vessels, as your heart, to be a blessing, as a testimony to others. In Jesus' name, amen.